This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. It is the start of the football weekend. Tonight in the Valley, we have a terrific high school game over at Centennial with Centennial and Pinnacle, two of the top programs in the state. If you guys are a fan of sports, just a fan of sports, okay? And if you like football, it even adds to it. But if you're a fan of sports, you need to go see the quarterback at Pinnacle High School, because I'm pretty certain he has a fast track to play in the NFL. I don't like to sit here and say this guy is a future star, but it's like watching Brett Hundley or guys like that in high school that you know, okay, they've got enough. I don't know if he's going to get hurt. I don't know if he's going to burn out. I don't know. But if you've not seen Spencer Rattler play, we've done a documentary on him. If you've not seen Centennial play, they always send people along. And I get it. If you want to watch the Bengals and Texans tonight, actually, I don't get that. I really don't. But if you're really caught up in watching the Bengals and Texans, or if you want to head out and see somebody that's going to the next level, and it's a lot of fun, then you do that. Tomorrow night, you have U of A playing at UTEP. If you're going to sit and watch U of A UTEP in real live action, I would suggest you need a social life. You just need to go read a book. You need to go on a date. Even if you're the most ardent U of A football fan, Friday night, UTEP? Connect dots. What is that? That's why God, creator, whoever you believe in, whatever. That's why there is this invention. It's called DVR. So you can go on a date. You can go. You don't have to sit and watch U of A and UTEP, but it's there. That's fine. If that's what turns your crank, if you cannot wait for U of A and UTEP, I would just kind of suggest you to aim a little higher. Saturday, I'm a Heisman Trophy voter. I have to watch Clemson and Louisville. I just have to, because Lamar Jackson's playing, and this is one of his very few marquee games. And is this a game where he's going to be able to grab hold of? Because I think right now it's Baker Mayfield. If I'm voting today, we're not supposed to talk about who we were going to vote for. If I'm voting today, there's a guy I would be voting for. Fortunately, I don't have to vote today. We've got 2.5 more months, whatever. And there's some games this weekend that on the surface aren't that attractive on the college football front. But, you know, to me, I'll watch UCLA-Memphis a little bit. Even if it's a nice day, I'll watch UCLA-Memphis in real time for, look, probably about a half hour. I want to see Josh Rosen. You have to start looking at quarterbacks if you're the Arizona Cardinals. I've done this the last 2 years where I've looked at the college quarterbacks and who's next. And for some reason, they don't want to do this. I go to the combine and ask them directly, is this the year looking at quarterback? Well, no. The last one that they've looked at really directly that had a shot was Logan Thomas, and it didn't work out. So you start looking around at when Sam Darnold's on the field against Texas, I need to watch some of that. And then on the football calendar, of course, Sunday morning, you have the Colts and Cardinals. Now, the Colts have not said if they're going to start Tolzien or Jacoby Brissett. They have not announced that as of yet. Either way, I'm saying Scott Tolzien and Jacoby Brissett, okay? I'm saying what the Cardinals are facing. I thought the Cardinals' defense was pretty good early. Thought they gave up some big chunks late. Thought there were some plays. I thought there were some plays that Justin Bethel, in particular, in the latter part of that game, didn't make. Obviously, he made the interception for the touchdown, but I'm not one of these that's going to jump up and down and say, see, we got to figure it out. No, that's not how it works. So the weekend, it may not have the plethora, the depth of games that are really attractive top to bottom. Like on the NFL side, I'm going to want to see how the Raiders look. I want to see if they're that much better. Because the Patriots didn't look good in week one. And so I'm looking over at the AFC teams. You know, I want to see what Dallas looks like. I don't know what's going to happen with Ezekiel Elliott. As I'm sitting here right now, I can't tell you. I can tell you a whole bunch of legal stuff. So there's intrigue all the way around for me. That's the bottom line. I love Thursday shows because we get to go to Vegas and talk to Jimmy Vaccaro. Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us here shortly. We'll talk about all the lines, the numbers that are of interest to me around the NFL and also on the college football front with Jimmy Vaccaro. And then we'll have Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykunst, Goody at the Movies. And Bill has three movies he wants to get to today. Later in the show, there's a website that has popped up. And Todd Graham is number one on this website. And it has to do with coaches and their future and being on the hot seat. We'll get that to you coming up here after we get to Jimmy Vaccaro here in a few minutes. Last night I watched the Diamondbacks pretty much start to finish. And the Indians story really has my interest. I'm reading a lot about what's going on back in Cleveland. I have friends from the Ohio area. We did quite a bit with Pedro Gomez yesterday from ESPN. If you missed it, it's up on the podcast from yesterday. When you see records being put in place or records being shattered, it makes you want to go a little bit deeper. You know, makes you want to just look at the numbers a little bit deeper. Like this record that the Indians yesterday set in the American League. The American League started in 1901. So what happened yesterday, none of us were around for when it first started, okay? And to see what Cleveland is doing and how they're doing it, it's been 20 days since they lost a game. And to go through the whole idea of, can a team peak too early? Just look at what has happened to the Dodgers here in the last month. Look at what's happened to the Diamondbacks after their record win streak. They've been up and down. But I thought last night was one of the more crisp, clean games that I've seen out of this team in about a week. You know, the winning streak was impressive. They were doing it in all ways, shapes, and forms. But here in the last week, you start to teeter, and the Padres series just wasn't good, and I think it was predictable that they weren't going to play well against the Padres. You know, I continue to get fans sending me notes saying what an embarrassment it is, and they're sending me screenshots about how many people were in the stands. It's a different time. It's a different place. Our country is in a space where financially not everybody can afford to go to games. So when guys sit behind microphones and say, oh, I can't believe people aren't showing up. Yeah, because you get a preferred parking spot and you put something around your neck and you get to go in for free. So who are you to say, why is it the stadium isn't full? The Diamondbacks are doing the best that they can do, but the stadium is in a bad location. That's a fact. Stadium is not in a position where there are fans that can stream in from all parts of the valley without it being a haul. That is why they want to move and are going to move, I think, eventually to the 101-202 area. But that's another conversation for another day. Last night, Paul Goldschmidt got his 1,000th base hit. And this is why I like Paul Goldschmidt so much. Because Paul Goldschmidt didn't even care afterwards. It wasn't a big deal to him. This is what we need more of, in my humble opinion, in sports. I don't need guys doing this. I don't need guys patting themselves on the back. Could Paul Goldschmidt have said, well, it's obviously a big achievement. Yeah, but then he's making it about him. That's just not going to happen. If you were to walk in here right now and sit down at this table across me and say, tell me about getting 1,000 base hits, what does it mean? Well, I had a lot of teammates along the way, a lot of hitting coaches along the way. The team is in first place. We're trying to get it in the postseason. Next question. He's not going to give you anything on that. And we shouldn't hold it against him because that's just who he is. We need more humble athletes like that. When we're in a day and space, when I'm leading shows off with the police blotter. The police blotter used to not be a big deal, but most days I could start the show with what is going on with fill in the blank dude off the field. I could have done it in... Quite frankly, people were doing it when it was Johnny Manziel, and people were doing it when it was Ray Rice, and now people are doing it. Yesterday was Jamel Hill in the news cycle, and today it's Ezekiel Elliott, and what's going to happen with Ezekiel Elliott in court? At the end of the day, I think you guys just want to get back to sports. Brad, tell me something going on in sports. Tell me something that is going to impact my fantasy football team without going on and on and on about the legal system and Ezekiel Elliott. Full disclosure, I have Ezekiel Elliott on my fantasy team, but I'm not sitting here waiting on Twitter to see what's going to happen to Ezekiel Elliott. It's really interesting how our industry is just turned into police blotter, controversy, chaos, rather than Texans play Cincinnati tonight. Deshaun Watson is starting at court. Deshaun Watson, I got to pick him up for my fantasy team. That's the first reaction. Not, you know, it's pretty interesting how a professional sports franchise can go out and hire somebody to have them oversee an entire operation. And then they're going to have an off season, and they're going to have OTAs, and they're going to have all these workouts. They're going to have bonding, and then they're going to have mini camp. And then they're going to take a break, and then they're going to have training camp. And they're going to have all these games in August. And then they're going to play one game. And they're going to get crushed. And after one game, we're changing quarterbacks. Get them out of here. One game. That's it. And guys get paid to run these franchises. Think about that. When I talk about crazy sports owner, or if I talk about, you guys cannot take it verbatim that just because somebody is wearing a logo of your favorite team, that they have any freaking clue what's going on. Guys get drafted that can't play dead, and guys or free agents come in and they make the Pro Bowl. So yes, we should be sitting here questioning what our teams, if you have a team, I don't care, I don't have a team, don't care. But we should be watchdogs. You should be watchdogging. Doesn't mean you have to run on Twitter every 10 minutes just to say, see, I'm the smartest guy in the room. But man, we just take it that because they're working, that they must know what they're doing. And more often than not, it's Brock Osweiler. This is the same organization that backed the truck up and gave Brock Osweiler how much money? And how did that work out for them? So this is the same organization that then says, you know what, we're going to bring in Deshaun Watson. We don't want to rush him. And now they're second game of the season? I mean, if you're a fan of that franchise, you would have to be saying, do they really know what's going on here? Nice to roll J.J. Watt out there. It's great what J.J. Watt's done. You can make J.J. Watt the poster child, but top to bottom on this roster? Stunning. I mean, it's just stunning. You know, and in terms of the Cardinal game at Indianapolis, we'll talk to Jimmy here in a minute, but if you're having to prepare for Jacoby Brissett and Scott Tolzien and your back is up against the wall, I mean, this is a game that you have to win. You have to beat Indianapolis. You have to go on the road and win. And then 2 weeks, you have to beat the 49ers. Next week, you're not beating Dallas. Next week will be so much fun. There will be, if the Cardinals lose, the apocalypse will have happened. I won't be able to get to work on Monday because the 101 will have so many broken ankles from people jumping off the bandwagon and wanting to sell their tickets to Cowboys. If the Cowboys come in here undefeated and the Cardinals are 0-2, it's going to be an ugly, ugly, ugly crowd. And that's fact. Jimmy Vaccaro is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now, as we get ready for the great football weekend, it gets started tonight on the pro front. Lots of games across the great college landscape, the pro landscape. And some people that heard me last week with Jimmy Vaccaro, and they said, Brad, have you actually stayed at the South Point? I said, yes, I've stayed at the South Point. You guys know me better than that. 20-plus years I've been here in the Valley doing my thing. That's the place to stay if you want to head on up there, and you'll see Jimmy Vaccaro and the good crew there. South Point Resort Casino. Here is Jimmy looking forward to a weekend of games that, you know, on the surface after the first week, some of these I wouldn't say are the most attractive, but I'm really interested in how they're going to play out long term. I'll give you a game, Jimmy. Raiders and Jets. The Jets are terrible, okay? But the Raiders have Marshawn Lynch, and I'm interested to see how he does. Jets can't stop anybody. Todd Bowles got in their face this week. I'm just throwing a random game at you. You may have something better than that. But, run that by me.
Well, first of all, young man, good to speak to you again. And yes, it's going to be a relatively exciting weekend. But you forgot about your Arizona Cardinals. They better win this week against a depleted Indianapolis Colts team, that's for sure. I can't tell you this, my friend. There's a lot of people who believe Arizona will walk through Indianapolis. We laid 7 on that game early with all the wise guys and the recreational guys. We're up to 7.5, and there's nothing with Arizona Cardinal money. the Jet game, what can I tell you? Biggest point spread of the weekend, 14 points you're giving a NFL team, and they're going to need every one of them. Although the Smarts jumped in and took the plus 14, but we'll be overwhelmed by Oakland money come Saturday and Sunday as the Oakland Raiders fans get the Niners. So, you know, that, and I'll say another one, just an absolute monster game is tonight's game.
Oh,
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Open 3 points. You're up to 6.5 over the Texans. I understand we got a second-string quarterback going for them there, but you got Andy Dalton, who didn't do too well last week, and up to 6.5. It should be exciting to see what happens there. And naturally, how, what more can you ask for on the Monday? On the Sunday night late game, the Packers going to the Falcons. A total 53.5. That thing will go skyrocketing. And right now, all the money is on the Packers, but we have a long way to go. Exciting weekend in the pros coming up. Make no doubt about it, my friend.
Hey, Jimmy, when David Johnson is lost down here for 2 to 3 months, what's the view in Vegas now of the Cardinals?
Well, first of all, it's a little tick, maybe a half a point, not much more, but they better win a game. I mean, they better not get off to a 2-3 starter. They're going to have a lot of what I would consider empty seats in that beautiful stadium we have back there. He does miss something, but in a whole right now, it's just more or less a bet against Indianapolis Colts, as we've seen last week that they, you know, got beat by not a very stalwart Los Angeles Rams team. But he does mean something, but it won't be like Ezekiel Elliott not playing for them.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us. Jimmy Vaccaro, of course, South Point Resort and Casino. Check him out when you stop on into Vegas. I'm curious on the college end of things. So I'm not going to go into U of A, Texas, El Paso as a Friday night game. I mean, come on. But I am going to go over to Arizona State and Texas Tech, which is on Saturday afternoon. The coach down here is on the hot seat unlike any other after their poor showing against San Diego State. What do you got, ASU, Texas Tech, Jimmy?
Well, it might be a little hotter, my friends, as Texas Tech is a touchdown favorite over Arizona State. Not that you're going to throw all these, wow, Texas Tech is that good. It's just Arizona State and Arizona look for a down year, and so far, I hate to say it, but we've been relatively correct on it. He has a tough task going there, playing in the afternoon at Texas Tech, and you're getting 7 points, and right now, my friends, a little bit of money has trickled in on Texas Tech. Not much, but not a lot of support right now for the Arizona State Sun Devils, my friends.
On the college front, Clemson plays Louisville. I think for Lamar Jackson, I'm a Heisman Trophy voter, Jimmy, so I got to watch this game. Probably the best game of the weekend, view in Vegas, Clemson-Louisville.
My friend, you hit it right on the head. That's the one we're all waiting for. Clemson-Louisville. Clemson, a 3-point favorite. Total 57. To me, that's relatively low. You're going to get a lot of scoring here. I think that game will go up 59 or even 60 there. Louisville, this is the first big test they've had. And Clemson, 3-point favorite on the road should be exciting. But right now, a little bit of money on Clemson, not much. There are people whom I respect waiting for this game to go up. They would like to take Louisville plus 3.5 or 4. And you know what, my friend? I think they'll have their chance as the general public will be all over Clemson Saturday afternoon.
Saturday night, you have Texas at USC. On paper, you'd say USC looked really good against Stanford, or maybe Stanford can't stop the run. Texas can't figure out who's their quarterback. Texas-USC, Jimmy.
Texas-USC. Wow, here we go. USC is 17-point favorite. That's probably the highest that they've been against each other in how many years. But that Texas will need all of them. USC is just a scoring machine. This game opened 17. And like I said, USC is going to draw plenty of attention this entire year. That game goes off at 18. I'll be looking for the Longhorns to battle South come Saturday night, my friend.
Stay well, Jimmy. Appreciate it as always. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
It's Jimmy Vaccaro in Vegas. There you go. South Point Resort and Casino. I'm going to eat the movies in a bit. So on the other side, there is Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez are on a website. And there's lots of websites that are out there. But this one is really interesting as to what the view is here in Arizona. And I'm going to tie the two of them together after this time out. Good to eat the movies in about 15 minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So the Diamondbacks have a day game. Zach Godley is going to be on the mound. I'm going to advance the conversation, though, towards the college football weekend. It's a day game for the Diamondbacks, and I may touch on them a little bit before the show ends. So this weekend, Arizona State plays at Texas Tech. You just heard Jimmy there, and the Sun Devils are a 7.5 point underdog from what I've seen. I am not expecting them to win this game. It would be a surprise if they won this game. The interest in Arizona State football has already started to wane. I think 2 weeks in, and the diehards that I've talked to, doesn't mean that people are going to stop going to the games. There's always going to be that core 45 to 50,000 max that are going to go to games. Like, they have Washington coming here in October. That game should be full. They have Oregon next week. That game should be, I'm not going to say full, but it should be pretty busy. Even the Washington game, I shouldn't say full. That implies sellout. It should have more than 50,000 because there'll be, I don't know how many thousands of Washington fans will be there. The U of A game, it depends on where they're at with both coaches. I think right now you look at the U of A ASU game, and the way things have started this year, I've already said on this show, I don't expect Todd Graham to be the sitting coach at Arizona State when the ASU-U of A game. He's going to know his fate far before then. It would be a stunner if they completely removed him. They completely removed him if this thing continues to spiral. They lose this week against Texas Tech, and then they have Oregon next week. I mean, you guys tell me, that's 1-3. It's 1-3. And if you're going to go find a coach, you better go make your move early to go find that coach. Go lay out the groundwork. To think that Ray Anderson hasn't done that, hasn't started to do that, doesn't have a list of five names, hasn't been in contact with agents, you are being naive. If you want me to sit here and just bash Todd Graham as a person, I'm not going to do that. But the numbers speak for themselves on the field. It's been unacceptable. There's no other way to put it. You cannot justify. Don't give me officials missing calls against San Diego State. That's weak. That's why you haven't been anywhere in 20 years outside of El Paso and San Diego. And that's back home, but still it's the Holiday Bowl. So what? And in Las Vegas, you've been at these second and third tier bowl games. It's not what this program should be doing. So there's this website. And I think it's kind of funny. CoachesHotSeat.com. Someone decided, hey, let's open a website. I'm going to put it up, guys. Let's open a website and let's put who should be on the hot seat. So Justin Toscano's producing today. He mentioned to me that they've got like, I don't know, a couple thousand followers. But it looks to me like a bunch of dudes sitting around a table with red Solo cups, drinking Schlitz, saying, hey, let's open up a website and put some pictures of guys, and then we'll rank who's on the hot seat the most. Well, that's the homepage, and you see the first picture. Todd Graham is in front of Brian Kelly. He's in front of Kevin Sumlin. There you see Rich Rod on that top line. So the number one coach on CoachesHotSeat.com is Todd Graham. This is what you do when you have a lot of time on your hands or you just want to have some fun. And I thought it was kind of funny. Rich Rod's number eight. You know, in Rich Rod's case, does U of A have to pull the plug on Rich Rod as the season goes on if things continue to get sideways? I think there's a real difference between Arizona State and Arizona when it comes to football. I mean, come on, guys. If you're a U of A fan, you know I'm right on this. You don't care. All you care about is Midnight Madness and getting eliminated in the second or third round in March. That's what happens every year. I'm right on that. This is the year. We're preseason number one. We're going to go to the Final Four. Got it. Arizona State fan. Yeah, well, the only way they know their way to Pasadena is by bus or ferry or whatever, if you're talking about U of A fans, because they've never been in the Rose Bowl. That joke was probably funny. I mean, really funny. 15 years ago, 18 years ago, 20 years? No. No, it's been 20 years. So I don't think you really have much room to speak. But if you're Arizona State, in all seriousness, I think it's more important that you pull the plug on your coach earlier than U of A pulls the plug on their coach. If you just think of this logically, Tucson, if you change your coach, it doesn't matter. They're not going to suddenly go buy thousands and thousands of season tickets and feel as though the football program has been turned around. Athletic directors come and go in Tucson. They come and go in Tempe. They're both stepping stone jobs, unfortunately, but that's where we are. You don't think I'm right about that? I don't know. What happened with Kevin White? I don't know. What happened with Gene Smith? I don't know. What happened with Greg Byrne? Let me get myself polished up in my 40s and early 40s. And then when I'm really good and I'm ready to go, then I'm going to go to Ohio State. Or in Kevin White's case, I'm going to go to Notre Dame. I'm going to just use this as my way to get myself better. I would like, personally, I would like to see that change. It just hasn't done. It hasn't happened. Arizona State has a much better chance of landing a big name, big game coach. You know, you'll say, well, what do you consider Rich Rodriguez? What happened to Rich before he came to Tucson? Didn't go over so well, did it? And what did he end up doing? He went the media route. So if he had the itch to get back into it, he got the itch, he got back into it, it hasn't worked out. But in Tucson, as long as Sean Miller is standing upright and the basketball team takes the floor, football is always going to be just sort of something to do. Conversely, Arizona State football has a rich history, a rich tradition that they have leaned on and leaned on and leaned on and want to remind you about all day long. And there's nothing wrong with that to a point, but I don't know. Someday try winning 8 or 9 games consistently every year. You don't have to resort to the techniques of look at our new jerseys or, you know, look at this or look at that. Just go win football games. And so if Todd loses on Saturday, and I think some of it does depend on how they lose. If they go out and they just absolutely crap the bed, lots of penalties, turn the football over. And Todd Graham's teams, and ASU likes to remind me about this whenever I point out their number of penalties, or it may not even be number, it's how their penalties came about. The Jail Mary game at USC was classic. So all USC has to do is knock down the ball and win the game. You go back and watch that game. They didn't play well. ASU didn't play well in that game. There were stupid penalties all through that game. But they won, so what are you getting on our case for? Because it all adds up. If they go out and play poorly on Saturday, they don't play clean, if they are sloppy, if things don't go right, if they give up big plays like they did last week to a team, you know, San Diego State may beat Stanford this week because Stanford cannot stop the run. And as long as Penny is on the field for San Diego State, that's a game down in San Diego. Stanford's defense isn't that good. Doesn't mean you turn around and say, well, I guess San Diego State was better than what we thought. No, that's excuse making. That is excuse making. So I don't care if they finish out the rest of their season. I'm going to get people that are going to say, well, you should be giving them credit. No, we've been doing that for years and years and years over here. Always find a way to deflect attention away from the problem. So how do they go about it? If they win the game, does that mean Todd Graham is back next year? No, it just means that for a week, the rhetoric dies down. I don't know if he drops on coacheshotseat.com from number one to number five. I don't know if that's what happens. But it is kind of funny how both the coaches here, if you think about where we are, I was talking to Eric about this yesterday. Both coaches probably are gone in our state at the end of this year. The head coach at Northern Arizona was already told he's not back. You can very easily make the argument that Bruce Arians is coaching his last year over with the Cardinals. You can make that very easy. He's tied to Carson. He's tied to Larry. He's had some health issues, blah, 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 blah. This could be it for him, and he just says, you know what, I'm out. You can even go on the high school end. There's a program, and I'm not going to say which one, but there's a program here that has a national reputation that I think is going to be looking for a coach on the high school platform. So you could go across our state and say, we are the coaching hotbed. But this weekend, for sure, if ASU plays poorly against Texas Tech, Ray Anderson has to think about removing Todd now. If they play poorly, I'm not going to sit here on Monday if they lose. How did they lose? What did it look like? So on and so forth. If Ray has any inkling through the back channels of coaches that are out there, like this is the perfect time of year. If I had Chip Kelly on the air right now, Chip Kelly, if you talked with Ray Anderson in Arizona State, that's a bad question on my part. Because all he has to say is no. If you look him in the eye and say, so Chip, have any of your representatives or any of their representatives spoken directly or indirectly through email, through text, by phone, by carrier pigeon, and you back them up against the wall, that's the question that needs to be asked. And I'm not saying it's Chip Kelly. There's all sorts of names and rumblings and rumors and former coaches, odd stuff. I'm just throwing one name out there. Those guys are all angling and lining up. That's how it works. Good Eat the Movies is next. Now, because you know pretty much what's going on in the world of sports outside of the legal stuff with Ezekiel Elliott, and I just don't care. I'm burned out on it. It's time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody Kunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. He has three movies to look at and talk about. Bill, how are you?
I'm good.
All right.
I just talked to Dame Judi Dench.
Ooh.
And she said, and she called, you know, the publicist put her on, and she said, Bill, it's Judy. How's Arizona? I said, it's good. How are you? And she said, I'm grand.
Where was she? Where was Judi Dench?
She was in New York.
Okay. And she's best known in your mind as?
Probably just a great actress. I mean, she's done a bunch of stuff, but she was in the last couple of James Bond movies, you know, Takes the Bloody Shot. And but she's been around for 60 years. You'd think of her as royalty, but this is interesting. She said she'd only played four royal people in 60 years, and one of those was Cleopatra.
Oh, wow. Well, that's cool.
And but she said everybody thinks of me as, like, playing royalty. I just wanted to tell her it's because you make a pretty good impression, I think.
She got killed off in the last Bond. Not the last Bond, the Bond before. She got killed off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that wasn't... I think too bad,
because she was cool.
Yeah. So I get this note from the publicist. This isn't directed towards me, but it was a mass email about mother. Please spell mother with a small case M, not a large case M. So I'm like, okay, relax. What is mother about?
Oh, yeah, this is going to sound opaque, but it's purposely so. It seems like it's about one thing, and then it seems like about it another thing, and then another thing. And then at the end, it is literally about everything. And I know that sounds hard to understand, but it's the truth. And it's tough. I mean, there's some really disturbing stuff in there. But it's one of those things where, I mean, I think this is one of those movies that it's sort of possible to love and hate simultaneously. But no matter how you feel about it, when you get to the end of it, there's no question that you've seen a lot of movie. I mean, there's a lot going on. And Jennifer Lawrence is really good, but she's different than typically we've seen her. And her boyfriend, Darren Aronofsky, made it. And I talked to him about the movie and made a bit of a fool of myself. I said, you know, you put your girlfriend through some pretty tough paces there. I said, or would you have to be really close to somebody to do that? And he said, well, we actually weren't dating when we made it. So then I told him.
That's great.
I told him. Well, I'm not up on all the gossip.
Yeah.
But I told him. I told him, you know, most people, you know, do like dinner and a movie or something. But you courted her by making her do all this crazy stuff.
What's the genre of this, Bill? I'm watching the trailer right now. What's the genre of this? I mean, what are we talking about here? Is it a horror movie?
Ultimately, it's horror.
It's a
horror movie.
Okay.
And that's what Aronofsky kept saying. He said, people need to remember it's a horror movie. And he said, it's just a horror movie with really, really, really big stars.
Mm.
And so they're kind of expecting something different. But he said, but it's not. It's a horror movie.
All right. Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer's in it. I mean, that's...
She is. And Ed Harris.
Yeah, they didn't skimp on the budget on this one.
Kristen Wiig shows up towards the end in a pretty unhinged role.
All right. California Typewriter.
I loved it. Are you old enough that you ever had to write a story on a typewriter?
Sure. You and I are the same age. Of course.
Yeah, well, I'm just a little bit older. But the
Are
but
you?
I've
65.
You're 63. So.
All right. All right. You are a little older.
By the way, those are the years we were born, not our age.
Yeah, right. Let's be clear about that.
yeah. But I was a free intern for the Radford News Journal in Virginia, which is my hometown, unpaid. And we actually typed on old AP rolls and and cut and paste. When you cut and paste, you literally cut the thing up with scissors and move paragraphs around. But so I came in at the very tail end of that. But this is about manual typewriters, and that there's this sort of group of people who love them. And Tom Hanks is one of them, and John Meyer is one of them, and David McCulloch was one of them, and the late, great Sam Shepard is one of them. And they talk to all these people and about why they use them. And it's just great. I mean, it's really fascinating. And Better Than All the Stars is the movie gets its name from this little company in California that repairs typewriters. And as the movie goes along, they're sort of struggling to stay afloat. And it's, you know, it's kind of a running drama throughout of whether they're going to be able to stay in business. And it's just, I mean, it's one of those unlikely things. And Tom Hanks is sitting there with his 250 typewriters that he has, and he rotates them every day. And he's become sort of an expert on them. And David McCulloch, who's written so many great, you know, history books, and won, I think, two Pulitzers, but he's talking about how he likes how it makes him go slow, so he has to think more, and it's just delightful.
Wow. And it would seem to me, and I haven't looked, it would seem to me to be camel view, but with Tom Hanks, it's more than camel view, right? It's got to be wide.
It's actually Valley Art.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so.
But Valley Art is a great excuse. That's my favorite, probably my favorite theater in town, so
all right.
It's a good excuse to go down there.
Columbus is the last film on the list today. What about Columbus?
Also very good and very unusual. It's a movie about architecture, sort of. Haley Lou Richardson, who's from Phoenix, is in it. And she was in Edge of 17, Split, and some other stuff. She's great in this. She's just great. And she and John Cho, she plays a woman who, this is in real life. And Mike Pence, the vice president, is from this town, Columbus, Indiana. Has, for various reasons, a really high number of modernist architecture buildings of, like, the great people, the greatest in the world, you know, the greatest architects in the world designed them. And that's actually true. But they, what happens is her character is, she's there and she wants to leave, but she can't because she's taking care of her mother, who's a recovering addict. And then John Cho shows up, because his dad is a famous architect who's going to give a speech, and he has a stroke or something. I don't know. They don't really say. And he's sort of stuck. So the two of them get to know each other. And he's quite a bit older in the backdrop of these just, like, stunning buildings. But then they take that inside, too. And even, like, when they're just in a hallway or something. I mean, it's just a remarkably cool-looking movie.
Mm.
It's really interesting, and it's the kind of thing that nobody's going to go see, but they should.
Isn't that hard for you? Isn't that hard for you when you're sitting there and you're critiquing a movie and you're writing about it? This is great, and the paper's playing this up, and the great artwork, and all, and nobody's going to go see this, by the way. But it's all great, you know. Is that hard?
Every now and then it'll happen. But if you can get it, truly is. I mean, I think that a lot of people are going to, you're going to either go see it or you're not, you know? I mean,
right.
That's just, but I don't know if a critic has much to do with that, but I think the most important thing a critic does is if you can kind of get people onto something like this that they didn't know about before. And, you know, I do not labor under the delusion that a positive review by me is going to sell it out. But if I can get a few people there, then I feel like I've done my job.
Yeah. Well, you've done your job. I appreciate your time today, as always. Thank you very much. I would talk to you about Jemele Hill, but I think you're on a deadline, so I'm going to let you go.
I'm on a little bit of a deadline, so yeah, thanks.
See ya. It's Good at the Movies. Also good to catch up with Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett. I mentioned Jemele Hill. So I don't watch the 6 p.m. East Time Sports Center, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know about you. I am busy. I am on the run. So I don't see much, and I don't watch much ESPN anymore. I'm not the demo they want. They want 18 to 34-year-olds. That's who they want. They're trying really hard to get them. And yet, when she goes on social media, and Linda Cohen goes on social media, and Linda Cohen gets suspended because she goes right down the list of all the miscues that ESPN has made, signing the NBA to a crazy deal, Pac-12 network crazy deal, SEC network crazy deal. And she's just doing a radio show in New York, and points out when 200 people are let go on that day, well, we've had some challenges at the company. There's been these deals that haven't really worked out, and they suspend her. And then you have someone who decides to go on their social media account and essentially call the president a racist. Now, whether you agree with the president or not, this is not my political view here. It's just from a business standpoint. When Disney's stock keeps taking hits because ESPN is like this 10,000-pound anchor on them, not helping their portfolio, and one of your front-facing talent hosts decides to put something out on social media, and she is not suspended, but Linda Cohn was 4 months earlier for a pretty innocuous comment, I thought. It's like, what are we doing here? And it's completely taken over the media's conversation. Yesterday in my class, I'm teaching at Cronkite, this was one of the like the big buzz topics that people want to talk about. So, and then even the emails from students last night, they're in that demo. So wanted to get Bill's view. That'll be another day for another time. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board, the crusher. He gets in and does it day in and day out. And Justin Toscano is now producing on Thursdays. And so far, he hasn't really sort of screwed up much. So eventually we're going to put Justin on camera and kind of give him his shot. And I don't know how that's going to go. So anyways, enjoy your Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.